And this morning we have Dr. John Engstrom and his beautiful wife, Judy. They're from Washington State up in northwest of America. And thank you so much for coming with us. They have responsibility for a great many churches all around the world. And we are so pleased that you would share this time with us and share a word with us. Let's put our hand together as we welcome the Engstroms.
Pastor Fred, it's wonderful to be here with this congregation once again. We were here 10 years ago, September 9th, 2001, in your evening service. And how well we remember that time, and what a blessing it was to make your acquaintance with you then. And it's a joy to be back. And this is my precious wife, now of 40 years. We are just 10 years behind Dr. Chris and his precious wife, Mary. We're here celebrating with them their 50th anniversary. And so we honor them, amen, for being such a marvelous example, amen, of love and of faithfulness and of continual commitment, amen, to those vows that they took 50 years ago. And like I say, we are learning from them because we're 10 years behind them. We watch their steps and try to follow them. So it's a joy to be with Dr. Chris here this morning, a joy to be back with you. And I was disagreeing with Pastor Fred. I agree with him on almost everything, but my wife does have something to say. I preach to the church. She preaches to me. They are saved because of my preaching. I'm saved because of hers.
Thank you. We do express our appreciation for the opportunity to be with you and for the opportunity to build relationship further. It was so wonderful to meet your precious pastors 10 years ago, and I remember him taking us home to his dear wife, who I'm not sure was sure we were coming. And I had great compassion for her because I know what that feels like. But they are so precious, and we are grateful to know them and count it an honor to be with you today. As you know, I just want to share something on my heart real quickly because I don't want to steal any of his time. But the Lord just keeps impressing on me that there's something very important on his mind and his purpose. I feel his purpose coming to fulfillment, headed toward fulfillment as we move into the period of transition. Like we women know, as we're giving birth, the Lord is giving birth to something in the earth, and we're moving into transition. And as you know, that's a very tough time. But God's purpose is coming to fulfillment. Yes. And I believe that purpose has to do everything to do with the message of this conference that's coming up. And it thrills my heart to hear that you are having this conference and discussing this issue of unity and convergence, because God is going to bring us together one way or the other. And I want to be in agreement with him and come together sooner than later, because we are coming together.
Yes.
God's purpose is that we come together and we relate with one another across all lines, that there be no lines in the body of Christ, no lines of division in between color, races, differences in any way, and male and female. Mm-hmm. We were discussing with Pastor Fred about women in ministry just before we started the service this morning, and he said, God said it. He created man, male and female. He created them. And God is bringing us together to fulfill his purpose. So I'm excited about that. And I know that you are on the right track. I can hear it and feel it in the spirit. But we bring our love and greetings to you and want you to know we're in agreement with you before the Lord in America, to standing for the same things. God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. We also bring you greetings from our congregation, Christ the Rock Fellowship in Linwood, Washington, because it is by their good graces that we are here this morning. I love the fact that you have the world hanging there on your platform, the world in view. Amen. I believe the Lord's called the church to have a world vision. We have on our business card a family church with a world vision. We want to be a family, but we want to go into all the world and preach the gospel and have an impact upon our world in this last hour and in this last day. I want to speak to you this morning on the three dimensions of faith, the turning points of faith. If you would turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Genesis, the 12th chapter, the first verse. As you're turning there, I want to just say a few words of introduction. I know in the United States that right now, in the movie theaters and in the videos and upon the video games, there's this great emphasis upon 3D. And I went into your one mall the other day with Dr. Chris to buy a cable that replaced the one he left in Brazil last week. And I was standing there and I was looking at a video game that had a 3D, was designed for the 3D video games, the three dimensions. Amen. We have been used to seeing images in only two dimensions, and now technology starts to bring us an image in three dimensions. And I believe that sometimes the world tries to parallel the church. Amen. I believe God's put us out ahead of them. But sometimes what they're saying helps us understand a little bit of maybe what he's saying to us. It's always different, but somehow it's also connected. Amen. And I believe the Lord is calling the church of the last day and of the last hour to be a three-dimensional church. Amen. A three-dimensional church. The God who was, the God who is, and the God who is to come. A God of the past, a God of the present, and a God of the future. Amen. The Lord has always revealed himself as a God of three dimensions. He revealed himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to Moses when he met him at the burning bush. He says, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The God of Abraham, the father. Amen. That father who in faith believed that God could give him a son when in his own means and by his own efforts and through his own strength could not conceive, and who was barren until he was 100 years old. He believed that God would give him a son and that he would keep that promise that he had made to him. Amen. And he would give him a son. Amen. The God of the Father, the God of beginning, God of Isaac, the God of birth. Amen. The God of the Son. You must have a father. You must have a son. Amen. And out of Abraham and Sarah, even though they were old and her womb was dead and he was old and as dead himself, yet God gave life and gave birth to an Isaac, a son. Amen. That son of the promise, in Isaac shall your seed be called. Amen. God brought forth an Isaac. Amen. Even in our lives. Amen. He brings forth the birth of his son, Jesus Christ, through the power of the new birth. Amen. And in the deadness of our sins gives birth and quickens us and makes us alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's also the God of Jacob. Because out of Jacob, the man of struggle and the man of wrestling, comes 12 sons. Amen. The seed of a great nation. Because God is never satisfied with the singular. He loves the plural. I will bless you and I will make you a great nation. This church must understand that your destiny is always that God would make you a great nation. A family first, but then a nation. Amen. And a nation represents a family of families, if you will. Amen. So God's purpose is always greater. It takes us into that three-dimensional. And Moses asked the Lord a question. I know this isn't my text this morning, but I'm just warming up. Can I warm up? You have to warm up before you can exercise. So I'm just warming up. But I'm telling you, when God spoke to Moses, he said, Moses asked him a question. He says, when I go down to Egypt, the people are going to say, who has sent you? Who has sent you? What is his name? Who is this God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What is his name? Amen. He knew him relationally, but what was the name? The Lord spoke to him and said, tell him, I am, hath sent you. Now, I'm sorry, this is Sunday morning. Some of you still waking up, but we have to have a little Hebrew grammar lesson. I had to study it for 2 years in seminary, so you must suffer with me. But in the Hebrew, that verb, I am, has three tenses. It's not like most languages where you have one expression of being for the past, another expression of being for the present, and another expression of being for the future. But the I am, the Yahweh, is translated both I was, that I was, I am, that I am, and I will be what I will be. God is a God of three dimensions. I want us to look at the three dimensions that Abraham walked through in his own life. We want to begin this morning, Genesis 12, verse 1. And the Lord, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. God does not just call us out. He calls us to. He called him out of his own land. He called him out of his own country. He called him away from his own family to a land that he would show him. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. And here we have the law of blessing. Before you can be a blessing, you must be blessed by the one who is the blesser, the Lord God Almighty. You can never give to someone else what God has not given to you first. You must be a receiver before you can be a giver. I speak especially to the young. We are so ready to run. Amen. Sometimes we forget to pack a lunch. We are ready to go now. I want to go now, Pastor. Send me now, send me now, send me now. But you must be prepared. You must be taught. You must be equipped. You must be discipled to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must learn to follow him wherever he goes. Amen. You must first receive before you can give. Before you go to the world, you must go to the Lord and learn at his feet and be taught in his presence. Amen. But receive so that you can give. Never take the blessing and put it only for yourself. The blessing is there to empower you to be a blessing to all nations. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Do you see this morning? Do you grasp this morning the potential of faith in your life? That in you all the families of the earth can be blessed. That men that through the ministry of a church like this church or a church like our church, amen, God can touch literally the whole earth. Amen. I know that Dr. Chris has been into 92 countries of the world I mean, here's this man who was born, men, in a nation where he was so limited and there were so many barriers and so many walls and so many things that would said you never go anywhere. Look what God did. Look what God did. Look what God did. In you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all of their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. And Abraham passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moriah. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. I want to speak to you just briefly this morning about this first dimension of faith. Amen. Dealing with the past. You must let the Lord deal with your past. And you must allow the Lord to do a work in your life that brings you out of your past. Out of who you were to become who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord has to call us out of our land. He has to call us out of our culture. He has to call us away from our family, no matter who they are. No matter even if it's a good family. I had a wonderful, good Christian family. But to find my calling in the Lord Jesus Christ, there were times I had to be separated from my family. I had to become a child of God. I was a child of my father and a child of my mother. I had a brother and I had five sisters. And I had a great family. But they did not understand and could not see who God had called me to be. Amen. I never walked into a room that I did not walk into that room, and with my brother or my sisters having not preceded me, my father, my mother having not preceded me. I had no identity except, oh, he's Paul's little brother. He's Sue's little brother. I was always known in the small dimension. Not that I regret that. It was hard to live up to sometimes. My sister was very smart and my brother was very athletic and I was not. So sometimes, you know, your family, that identity can get in the way of who you, the Lord wants you to become. But there were times where God had to call me out of my family, away from my kindred. He loves our families, but he must possess our hearts. He must possess our hearts. Our family can be a problem. Our past can be a problem. I have very few regrets in life. I'm blessed with a beautiful wife, three marvelous children, and now 4.5 grandchildren. The fifth one is coming in February. When we get home, we will maybe receive the news, whether it's a boy or a girl. We don't know. Now it is even, two of each. So this next one will make the draw. But we're just blessed. We're blessed beyond measure. I thank God for how he has blessed us and what he has given us. Amen. It's marvelous. Family is a precious thing. But in order to receive, you have to sometimes leave. You have to go aside and find who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I don't have many regrets, because I am so marvelously blessed. We have a wonderful church family. I'm marvelously blessed with friends like Dr. Chris Ludovic. I'm blessed. I'm very blessed. But my regret is this. I spent too much time looking in the mirror, trying to figure out who I was, looking in the rearview mirror, trying to see where I have been, and not looking into the windshield to see where I was going and to look up and see who God wanted me to be. If I had only taken more time to look up. You know, sometimes in school, my teachers often disciplined me because Pastor Fred, I was frequently looking out the window. What was going out there, on out there, was more interesting. You also? Yeah. It was more interesting than what was going on up there. So I spent much of my life looking out the window. But I tell you, it's more important to keep your eye upon Jesus and see where he's going and where he's leading you and where he's taking you. Amen? Hallelujah. But there's another reason we must leave these things behind, because Abraham and his family came from the land of Chaldees. Now, you may not know that, but if you turn back in your Bible one chapter, that is the very place upon which the Tower of Babel was built. Now, the Tower of Babel was the birthplace of false religion. Amen. It was there that Nimrod established man-made religion, the cult. I mean, precious Sharon Andrews, the Lord saved her out of a terrible cult in the state of Utah. We ministered there to the Mormons. Her group was a break-off super Mormons, extreme radical fundamentalist Mormons that lived. The Mormon church didn't even know what to do with them. Sent them out into the desert where they lived by themselves in the community. You know, with all kinds of rules and regulations. She had to wear every day a dress that was blue, a certain make, and had to wear her hair a certain way in order to fulfill the requirements of the elders of that community that they put over her life, and how they constrained her under the bonds of legalism. Amen. So she knows about false religion. She knows what it is to be put in a place where you must please man, and you don't know how to please God, because they don't want you to be his. They want you to be theirs. And she was in bondage to that. I could say the same of myself in another way. Amen. I had to get out of the bondage. I had to escape the Saul's armor of my life and the religious constraints that were put upon me. Amen. The Lord has for 50 years been setting me free from all of those things. Those walls are pulled down, and the Lord comes to pull down some walls and to build new ones in their place. Amen. But we have to come out of that land of false religion. But not only was it false religion, but it was a land of humanism and technology. See, we have bricks and mortar. What does hinder us to build a tower and reach to the heavens? Because man takes his technology and thinks it has the ability to make him a god. And he wants to build a tower so he can go to the heavens and usurp the place of God. The thing that is wrong with those statements is, let us. See, we have bricks and we have asphalt. Let us build a tower. Amen. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Technology can take us away from God if we are not careful. Philosophy can take us away from God if we are not careful. We have to leave the land, amen, of men. We have to leave the land of false religion. We have to leave the land of the demonic. We have to leave the land of that which is perverted. Amen. Because in that same tower was born sexual perversion, lust, and all manner of evil and wickedness were born in that place. They were all born together. That mystery of iniquity was born into the earth. And God had to call Abram out of that. And God calls us first out of the world. And if the church needs to hear a message today, is that first God calls us out of the world. Do you know what the word church means in the Greek language? Ekklesia. It means ek out, klesia, called. Where does God call us first? He calls us out. He calls us out. God, we are first called out, and then we are sent back. But not until God has his place in our heart and the world has been removed from that place. The Apostle Paul says in the book of Galatians, God forbid that I should boast. God forbid that I should boast in anything except the cross of Christ, by whom I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. Because when we have that experience, then I believe we are inoculated. We are vaccinated. Then it's safe for us to go into the world. I like coming to South Africa because no vaccinations are required. I don't have to take malaria pills before I come here. But I often go into the northern part of Africa to minister there. And I enjoy that too, but I have to take, when I go, my passport has in it a big yellow document that lists all the vaccinations that I have received: yellow fever, typhoid, diphtheria, tetanus, all of these vaccinations, hepatitis A, B, C, and on down the alphabet, all of these vaccinations that I had to receive before I could go into those fourth world countries, amen, where you have to beware of the potential of deadly diseases. Men, you can't go preach the gospel if you're dead when you get there. This doesn't help if you die when you come back. But so you have to be inoculated before you can go, and you have to be vaccinated before you can go. And through the cross of Jesus Christ, there is the power to inoculate us against, amen, the false religion and the lies and the deceit of the world around us, so that we can safely go into the world and say, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. I tell you this morning, God wants to inoculate the church against the diseases of the world. That's what our salvation is. Just very quickly look at Ephesians, the second chapter. I always read this so that I reminded where I came from. It's important to know where I came from. I don't want to keep my eyes on that, but I should never forget it. "And you he's made alive," Ephesians 2:1, "who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit which now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others." Amen. We were just as them, but God called us out by his marvelous grace, made us alive in Jesus Christ. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us. Amen. We can say that's where we were, but that's not where we are. Amen. In Jesus Christ. Amen. Because he must first be the God of our past. He is the one who helps you get across that river. Do you know what it means to be a Hebrew? Hebrew? We sometimes sing the song, "We're the Hebrew children." What does it mean to be Hebrew? Do you know what that word Hebrew means? It comes from an old word, habaru, which means the one who crossed the river. And you and I must be like Abraham, those who have crossed the river and have left the land in which we were born to go into a land of promise where we are born again. He must be the God of our past. He must be the God of our present. How many of you know we've got a past, we've got a present? Amen. But he's still the God of the present. Turn with me real quickly to the next chapter of Genesis 13. Verse 7, "And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land." That's an interesting phrase. We keep hearing it. "And Abram said to Lot, 'Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, I will go to the right, or if you go to the right, I will go to the left.' And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan. It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other, and Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, And Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. And the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, westward, for all the land which you see, I will give to you and your descendants forever. I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that man cannot number the dust. Now, let me just stay here for just a moment. This is our present. How many of you experience conflict? How many of you experience controversy? How many of you experience crisis? If we are not careful, those conflicts, those controversies, and those crises can detract us from the main thing. Men, the writer of the book of Hebrews says, beware lest a root of bitterness spring up in you and defile many. Just because you are a Christian does not mean you are immune from pain. Men, just because you are a Christian does not mean you are immune from pain or that you are disqualified from suffering. In fact, I think as the Bible I read, they have a lot of that in there. Amen. The church doesn't want to hear much about it, Pastor Fred. They want to hear beyond it. They don't want to hear through it. But, you know, the thing is every life has a challenge. And even in the best of life, here Abraham did a very noble thing. He adopted his brother's son when his brother died. The Bible tells us in the last part of chapter 11 of Genesis that Haran, Abram's brother, died. And when he died, then Abram took Lot to be his own son. This man who had no son took his brother's son and raised that son as his own. And when he left the land he brought of his fathers, he brought Lot with him into the promised land. But there came a day when as they grew and as they prospered, there was not enough land for the flocks of Lot and also for the flocks of Abram. For even though they were of the same family, they were not necessarily of the same calling. Even though they were of the same family, they were not of the same calling. Lot did not have the covenant relationship with God that Abram had. And at some point, that covenant that he had formed with God called him aside from the covenant that he had with his own family. It became greater. Amen. The kingdom of God will become greater in you until it is greater than all things about you. Amen. But in the midst of this crisis and in the midst of this conflict, the grace of God arises within Abram and he takes the leadership. Here's a little leadership seminar here. Most of you are leadership this morning. But here's a little leadership this morning. The leader takes the responsibility for making the difficult decision and pays the greatest price. So he gave Lot first choice. He said, you choose. And whichever way you choose, I will go the opposite. If you choose left, I'll go right. If you choose right, I'll go left. At one point in my ministry, Pastor Judy and I were working with a pastor who was not a Spirit-filled pastor. Amen. And there was a difference in vision. And I tried to get an agreement between us. I said, how about we have a Spirit-filled Holy Ghost service on Saturday night, and we can have three hymns and offering and 3 points and a poem on Sunday morning, and you can have your tradition, and I will be able to minister to those who want liberty. How about we do this together? He said, no deal. We were at loggerheads. We were at no point of progress. And in the middle of this, I was reading and praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, the Lord gave me this very scripture. I go, Lord, what does that mean? What does that mean? And then I received a call from a precious sister in Jesus Christ who is my mother in the faith in many ways. And she called and she says, Pastor John, you must go to your associate and tell him if you stay, I'll go. If you go, I'll stay. But this is love. You take the decision, you become the wrong one. It's going to fall on your head, but that's your job as a leader. Let it fall on your head. And I had to resolve that conflict by going and saying, whatever you do, I'll do the opposite. Amen. And when we presented that to his and wife, they prayed about it a couple days. They said, we're going out. And we had received a sum of money. We sent that with them. We took some of our land and we designated it. We changed the title so it was in their name. And they could use that land to build a church, a new church. But we had to make that decision. We had to give that right. We had to give that option away. We had to lose our soul. But in the midst of that, I believe I hear the promise of God. If you lose your soul, you shall find it. And I know, Pastor Fred, you've been at that juncture. You've had to lose your soul. But I hear the word of the Lord so clearly this morning that you are finding it and you will continue to find it. Man, because the Lord took Abram up on the mountain. He said, if you'll give me your today, if you'll give me your present, I will give you all of this land as far as you can see in this direction, that direction, that direction, that direction. I have no idea because of the clouds and the mountains which direction this morning. So I can't point. But let me just tell you, in every direction, the Lord said, Abram, look as far as you can in every direction. I've given this to you. If you will give God your present, that crisis that you're in, oh God, it matters not to me. I don't want to win. I don't want to prove my point. I don't want to be victorious over my nephew. I simply want to do what's pleasing and what's right in your sight. I want to give you this time in my life. I want to give you this crisis. I want to give you this conflict, and I want to give you this confrontation, and I want you to bring in the midst of this your answer, your resolution, and your peace and your grace into this situation. God is speaking to some this morning to lay that conflict down. Some things are not your business. My son was once in a great crisis, and I wanted to go and I wanted to warn him. The Lord picked me up by my collar and he said, John, he didn't listen to me. Do you think he's going to listen to you? And I had to yield to the Lord in that. I had to yield to the Lord in that. And that was my own flesh, my own son. And I had to yield. My other son, there was a point at which I had to divorce that son. He was living a life of immorality. He was living a life of unrighteousness. And I told him, I have two other children. You cannot come into this house with that sin and defile them. You're welcome to come in under my rules. But if you want to bring your sin, you can stay out because I have two other children and they must be saved whether you want to be saved or not. And I had to take a stand in that and stand for the two children who were okay. God, 7 years later, gave me my son back. He's my associate minister. But there comes a time when you have to yield. And it's in these personal things, in these close things. And you have to take your today and give it to Jesus and say, Lord, here it is. Here it is. I want you to be my today. But then there's that third dimension. Turn with me quickly to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. In Genesis 22, and it came to pass after these things that God tested Abram. And he said, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Ah, that's a good way to answer God's questions. Here I am. That's how Abraham answered God. That's how Isaiah answered God. Here am I. Here am I. Here I am. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. For 25 years waiting for the son, now 16, 17 years old, 40 years after he's left the land of Haran, he comes to this place. God says, take your son, your only son, Isaac, and offer him as a sacrifice. I have studied the Bible all of my life, and I don't know that I fully come to terms with what God was asking of Abraham here. I don't understand how a God who did not believe in human sacrifice would ask Abram to offer his own son as a sacrifice. I don't know. I've studied the theology. I cannot tell you. All I can say is, here I am. I cannot tell you those answers. They're beyond me. But I know my God is a God of truth and justice. He's without iniquity. He's just and he's right in all of his ways. A God of truth and without iniquity. Moses said, just and right is he. He is just and he's right. And this just God and right God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son. And so Abraham took his son, went to the land of Moriah, went to the hill that God showed him, which happens to be the very hill upon which the Son of God gave his life for us. And Abraham went up every step of that mountain, determined that when he reached the top of the mountain, that he would take the life of his son upon that altar. He would offer up a sacrifice of the son of promise. Isaac was the future. Isaac was the future. Isaac was the future. He was the only future. In Isaac shall your seed be called. He was the future. And here at this point in his life, the Lord asks Abraham to offer up Isaac, his future. Men, what has God given you this morning? What promise has he fulfilled in your life? Let me tell you, the safest thing to do with anything God gives you is to put it safely back in the deposit of his hands. I call it my safety deposit box. We have at the bank a safety deposit box in which we deposit the most important documents of our church. But there is a place in heaven where you can place what you is too precious to hold. Too precious to call your own because God gave it to you. When my first son was born, Pastor Fred, I cannot believe what an incredibly ignorant father I was. I had absolutely no concept of what I was in for. None whatsoever. I was dumber than a rock. But I had a great God and a wonderful wife who somehow trusted me in that hour. I don't know how. I don't know how. But I was there in the room with her at the birth of my son, and I would not change anything for that experience to see my children being born and stand beside the mother, be what encouragement I could be to her as she goes through that time of birth and delivery. But our son was born. Jonathan always complicates everything. You know, when children are born, they're supposed to breathe out. That's why they used to spank them on the backside. So they go, they're supposed to breathe out first. But Jonathan breathed in. And that mucus plug that was in his throat to keep the fluids from going down into his lungs, it went down instead of up. And so that mucus plug went into his lungs. And here for the first 3 or 4 minutes of my son's life, he was purple as the grapes of Stellenbosch. I mean, he had an Apgar score of -10. I mean, he was purple. He was purple. And I'm looking at the nurses and the doctors. They've left the table where Judy is, and they've gone to resuscitate my son that's just been born. And I'm trying to keep one hand on my wife to assure her that everything's all right. And in my heart, I'm wondering, is it? Is it? And all I could say was, Lord, this is my firstborn, and he belongs to you. He does not belong to me. I must trust you. And as I said that out of my heart, there was a cry as my son got breathing out right. And they got that mucus plug out of his lungs, and he began to breathe, and he quickly turned into healthy pink, and he's been pink ever since, and been making a lot of noise all the days of his life. But your future, I am the God who was, who is, and who is to come. And I don't know where you are in your walk of faith this morning. Maybe you are just now leaving your land. Maybe you are at that point of conflict or controversy. Or maybe God has given you something wonderful and something precious. And this morning he's saying, will you trust me with your future? Will you trust me with your future? We used to sing that song so long ago. Wherever he leads, I'll go. We used to sing another song, I surrender all. All to thee, I surrender. This morning, if there's a shadow from your past, I tell you, surrender. If there's a conflict in your present, I tell you, surrender. And if you have a hope of your future, I tell you, surrender. Surrender it all, because I have a God who can be trusted with all things. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. God is able to keep that commitment. This church is being called to a three-dimensional faith. A three-dimensional faith. You are to be a church of the last day and of the last hour. I mean, God's given you incredible purpose and calling in this day, here in this nation and in this city, amen, to have a great impact. But I'm telling you, get your 3D faith. Get 3D faith so that you can have the three dimensions. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. So you can have the three dimensions. I am, I was that I was, I am that I am, I will be what I will be. You can have the three dimensions revealed to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am he who was, who is, and who is to come. Men, that's what I present before you this morning. A wonderful three-dimensional God. Men, I'm going to ask you if you would stand with me, if the musicians would come. Pastor Fred, would you come and just stand right here? I'm going to ask staff to come and stand around him. Church staff, just come quickly. Men, their heads of departments, volunteers, would you come? Stand with them this morning. Except for the worship. We'll go two directions here this morning. We can do two things at once. Man. Oh my goodness. I have two words from the Lord. Fast forward. Fast forward. Believe God's going to take you forward fast. But do not fear. Do not worry. All things are in place. You have made a great preparation. The ark is built. The flood will come. But salvation will go forth. And the future will be born. And as you lay down all that God has given you, as you present it once again anew and afresh to Him and say, Lord, it is yours. It's not ours, it is yours. This is your people. This is your family. This is your church. Lord, this is your work. Lord, and this morning I just pray for these gracious leaders. Lord, I pray, Lord, for that incredible anointing of wisdom. Lord, I ask for wisdom. That gift that you gave Solomon, Lord, that gift in which all other gifts are wrapped. Lord, I ask for that gift of practical wisdom, of love made real for this precious man of God who stood the test and who stood the time, Lord, that has come, and the reversals, the ups, the downs, the ins, the outs, the small, the great, the painful, the joy, all of those things, Lord, that are a part of the life and the calling which you have given him and have given these precious leaders, Lord, that surround him. I pray, Lord, for that wisdom that comes from above, which is pure, which is peaceable, which is easy to be understood, to be entreated. Lord, I pray for wisdom for this precious man. You've given him so much. And but Pastor Fred, the Lord says, to whom much is given, more will be given. More will be given. God will give you the more. He will give you the more. He'll give you the more. He'll give you the more. Man, he'll give you the more. This morning, I'm just praying for that wisdom. And if you can look at me for a moment, don't give everything away. Some is to be sent and some is to be kept. God will give you the wisdom to know the difference. Don't give it all away. I'm talking to myself as well. Because the Lord cares for you. He wants to give you faithful laborers who will help you carry the load. Don't give them all away. Some are to be sent. Some are to be kept. Amen. The Lord will give you the wisdom to know. Amen. But God wants you to have that grace upon your life, precious pastor. And he loves you. He loves you with an everlasting. And you are called and you're chosen of the Lord. And Lord Jesus, Lord, that grace, that marvelous grace. Grace him again with that marvelous grace. Anoint him again, Lord, with that marvelous anointing. Lord, give him strength for this day and strength for tomorrow. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we have a 3D altar call this morning? If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about something from your past, will you come over here to your far right? Right over here. Would you come now? If the Lord's dealing with you about something from the past, just go over there. Don't be ashamed. There's no fault here. Shadows come up all the time on my radar as God shows me things from the past, men that need to be dealt with. I was speaking to somebody and about something that happened 20 years ago, and suddenly I felt this surge of bitterness just come out of my soul, and I heard it in my own voice, Pastor Fred. I knew that the Lord wanted me to deal with that right then and right there. I didn't even know. Those of you who are in conflict and crisis and a confrontation and the Lord speaking to you about that, would you come and would you stand right here? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Precious lady, I don't know your name. Kumi. Talita Kumi. I like that name, Talita. Arise. The Lord's saying he has it under control. It looks like it's gotten worse, but it's because it's about to become better. The darkest hour is before the dawn. And in the impossible moment, God will come and do the impossible. So keep praying, keep watching, and see what your God will do. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, for those here, you have a future. Maybe God's given you a fiancé. Maybe God's given you something, a career. And you just want to lay that upon the altar this morning. That doesn't mean God's going to take it from you. He didn't take Isaac from Abram. But it's just saying it's yours, God. It's yours. Will you use it to your honor, to your glory? Will you use it to your praise? And just come and stand over here on the extreme left, if you will. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that they will not withhold any good thing from you. Lord, we give you even what you've given us this morning, because without you, we wouldn't have it. And it's safe in your hands. It's safe in your hands. And Lord, even though when it's in our hands, we want your name on it. We want your name engraved upon it. We want your name, Lord, written upon it, Lord Jesus. We want your name inscribed upon it. Inscribed upon it. Inscribed upon it. Inscribed upon it, Lord. Inscribed upon it. Inscribed upon their future, the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, they put it in your hands. They trust you. Lord, inscribe it with your name, with your name, with your name. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Men, just a precious baby in here. Oh, my mama. What a gift. What a gift. Oh, can I peek? Oh. Just fresh from heaven. Just fresh. Lord, you've breathed into this precious child just so shortly ago, the breath of life. Lord, I pray for this mother, for the future, her future and the future of this child. Lord, they belong to you. They're yours. They're yours. Trust them into your hands, Lord. Amen. For blessing, for a hope, for a future. Lord Jesus, amen, hallelujah. Men inscribed upon his heart, inscribed, Lord, upon her. Lord, we inscribe that with your name, Lord, that it be safe, that it always be yours. Lord, from your hand it came, and to your hand it must return. Lord, it is yours. The glory, the honor, the power, the kingdom is yours, both now and forevermore. Inscribe it, precious Lord. Inscribe it, precious Lord. Lord, on this precious, precious brother, Lord, he's laid it down so many times. He lays it down again. Because you always raise it up. You always raise it up. Precious Father. Precious Father. The Lord loves you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Therefore, you may confidently say, I will not fear what man can do to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this precious, precious man. Thank you for that contrite heart, Lord, that is so precious in your sight. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, 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 Lord. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord Jesus. Man, people, this is important to God. Jesus, who ministered to the multitudes when aside for the one. So today we come aside for this one man, Lord. We come aside for this one man. Lord, precious in his sight are those tears. The word of the Lord to you is, blessed are those who pass through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears, and who make it a well. You will make it a well that many will drink from, saith the Lord. Pursue on, my brother. Pursue on. Pursue on and follow your master, and stay in his footsteps, for they're faithful. Man, hallelujah. Man, Jesus, hallelujah. Lord, man, I'm gonna ask Pastor Judy, and if you would come and just, would you and Chris pray there for those concerning their past? Man, Pastor Fred, would you come with me, please? Man, now where does it end? The present. Those who are kind of grew together here, right here? Where the future moved just a little bit that way. The present, right here. Man, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. And Lord. Lord, you are the Prince of Peace. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord. May the peace of God that passes all understanding possess your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, the very God of peace, the very God of peace, shall come and crush Satan under your feet. Under your feet. The God of peace. The God of peace. It's his job, not ours. Oh, but he brings such peace. Such peace. Such peace. Such peace. I give you my peace, the Lord said to his disciples. I give you the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Man, hallelujah. Man, Lord Jesus. Lord, into this conflict, into this controversy, Lord, I ask you to come. As you came upon the waves in the midst of the storm, when the disciples thought they were going to die, you came and you spoke, peace, be still. You spoke to the winds and you spoke to the waves. Speak this morning to the winds and the waves of this storm. In Jesus' name, I command them to be still. Be still. Be still. Be still. Be still. Be still. No more. No more. No more. No more. Be still. Take authority over the princes and the powers of the air in the mighty name of Jesus, and we bind them upon earth, and we take from them any authority or power over this man's life. And Father, as we do that here on earth, we ask you to do it in heaven above and bind these things, Lord, that have tried to come and harm and confuse this young man. In Jesus' mighty name, we take authority over those things and we speak the peace of God to him today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. Amen. Bless you in the name of Jesus. With his peace and with his grace, Lord, this is a man of peace, But he is for peace and they are for war. They keep fighting over those wells. He keeps digging. Lord, I speak to him this morning. There's a well that you will give him over which there is no controversy. And the enemy will not be able to possess it. But it will be his well. Lord, I speak that in Jesus' name this morning. There be a well that belongs to him. Amen. Men can be so mean. That jealous spirit can be so contentious. But it's just because you're marked of the Lord, brother. The Lord says, you're mine. They can see it. They know it. They can't do anything about it. Because the Lord's word is greater than theirs. He says to us, be of good cheer, I've overcome. Be of good cheer, brother. He's overcome the world, and so will you overcome through him who loves you and gave himself for you. Amen. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Precious Jesus, precious Jesus. Lord, that peace of our God, that grace of our God, that profound grace. I speak to that mountain in the name of our God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be thou cast into the sea. And I command that controversy I place you under her feet, under my feet, but more importantly, under the feet of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We place the enemy under your feet, under our feet, under her feet, under her feet, under. Just stamp your foot a little bit there. Under. Devil's under your feet. And because the Lord's over your head. Hallelujah. And precious Jesus. Amen. Lord, Lord, you know, you've been touched by the feelings of our infirmities. You know our weakness, you know our struggles, you know our fears, you know our pain. Lord, you know what they've said, you know what they did. Lord, you know, Lord. But right now, Lord, we just ask you to come into the middle of all of this and bring forth reconciliation. I speak the word of reconciliation over this precious sister's life in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, and over this precious brother, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord, resolve those issues. Lord, I ask you to bring counsel to him, Lord, both by your spirit and, Lord, by wise and understanding men and women to come and help him. Lord, I know in the middle of our controversy, you brought a person of understanding who gave us wisdom. And, Lord, you defeated our enemies. And I'm asking you that for this brother this morning, Lord, that you would bring alongside of him both the helper, the Holy Spirit, but also, Lord, those chosen vessels. Lord, those sanctified chosen vessels. Lord, that will give him wisdom and advice and counsel, Lord, to be able to know what to do, Lord, in this situation. Lord, I just ask you, Lord, to bless him, Lord, with counsel, with the spirit of counsel. Spirit of counsel be upon him and for him in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's out of our conflicts that God brings forth his comfort. The apostle says, I comfort with the comfort wherewith I have been comforted by the God of all comfort. He is the God of all comfort. He's the God of all comfort. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Precious Jesus. Hallelujah. Precious Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, Lord. Pray for this precious sister, Lord Jesus. Lord, you know the issues that stir about her life right now. You know the controversy, Lord. You know the strife. But, Lord, you are the Ancient of Days. You are the Commander. You are the Lord of Hosts. Lord, I ask you to dispatch your warring angels to surround her and to be with her in the midst of this battle, Lord, and to bring forth that victory. We are now more than conquerors, more than conquerors, more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. If he gave his only son, will he not with him also freely give us all things? Ask for what you need. Ask for what you need. Amen. You think you should always be the least and the last, but God says, no, go boldly before the throne of grace and find the help you need right now. Ask the Lord boldly for what you need. Whatever it is that you need, ask him boldly. Amen. I don't need to know, you know. But you ask him boldly, Lord, big, 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 bigger than, more than you can ask or hope for. Ask him big, because you need big help. Okay? Big help. But God's a big helper. He's a good helper. He really is. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen.